Welcome, everyone, to episode 163 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to recap NBA Summer League, and we're going to keep things positive. So we're going to discuss who stood out in a good way at Summer League this year. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handle, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian. I'm really, really excited because you and I are going to see each other in less than a week.
We are, but don't pretend like that's why you're excited. You just went to go visit seven puppies, and that's why you're really excited.
That is also true, and my son is still in seventh heaven and has not calmed down yet.
So I know
I'm already reserving like a spot there for when you guys arrive.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're going to be playing around with puppies for 2 days.
Right. We need at least a 3-hour block where we can play with these puppies. Can we tweet the link out from our podcast? Twitter handle? Okay, cool. Everyone check our handle later because we're going to tweet the link of the puppies that Mort is going to adopt. He's getting all seven of them.
I wish. I live in an apartment. We signed up for one. Let's see if they're just gonna give us one. And by the way, I actually have a video of Bruce playing around with them that I can send you later on.
Oh my god. Oh, they're just so cute. They're like 10 weeks old. Everyone, seriously, I'm telling you, you're going to see the cutest puppies you've ever seen. Check our Twitter page.
Well, hashtag Danish puppies.
Yeah. I'm going to steal one and bring them back to America. It's going to be great.
And it's already going to be smarter than the president.
That is true. That is very true. At least less treasonous. All right, let's go into the Summer League standouts. We're going to keep things positive. We don't want to focus on too many guys raising concerns because it's Summer League and who gives a shit, really? I mean,
does that even raise concern when it is Summer League?
Right, exactly. There are a lot of good players who have had bad Summer Leagues before and turned out fine. So if your favorite team's prospect did not fare as well as you hoped, it's okay. There's a lot of time for them to turn their NBA career around, probably once they start playing something resembling real basketball, which is not Summer League for anyone who's watched it in the last 2 weeks. We've said that you don't really care about stats in Summer League because that doesn't matter at all. You're more watching which skills stand out either in a good or bad way. So is a guy defending well in the post? Is he switching on defense more than you thought he was able to? Can he create his own shot off the dribble? Is he a better passer than you realized? Those are the things that you can really start to take away and say, okay, well, maybe this will translate into the NBA. So
all eye test.
Yeah. So one of the guys who stood out eye test wise is the guy who you have been singing the praises of for months now and who the Bulls took at number 7, Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, man.
He was incredible.
He was. I told you. Like, he's just so fundamentally sound. Like, ESPN had a graphic up about, you know, the most producing big men. Like, that was stats, obviously, but in Summer League. Mm-hmm. He was number 2 among all of them, which is kind of like where he's ranged. Like, he was number 2 in scoring, number 2 in rebounding, number 2 in shot blocking. And that's so funny to me because that's exactly, like, the whole narrative about him is, oh, he was always second. Like, he was not number 1. He was all that. But it seems to me that his floor is so high because he's going to produce at a certain level where you just look at it and go, oh, you know what? He may not be a superstar at scoring the basketball. Oh, he may not lead the league in rebounding or shot blocking. But yeah, he's going to be right there. Like, he's going to be that level low. So he's not going to be bad in any of those areas, which I feel is very, very significant. Like, he's coming in with a very established floor game. Like, you saw him, like, he chased down blocks all the time. That steal slash block on Ante Sisic was just ridiculous.
The two-handed one?
The two-handed one, yeah.
Zizic, he has to retire now. Like, he can't come back from that.
No, he can't. Like, that he's done for.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, his shot blocking timing was just insane.
Yeah.
And he stayed with guards, which was the big knock on him. And honestly, I always thought during the whole pre-draft process when people said, oh, he's slow-footed, like, come on. Mm-hmm. He played at more or less 260, 265 at Duke. and he slimmed down to 251 at the combine. Like, of course he was going to get quicker. And at the same time, like, let's not pretend that if you're a big man, you can't switch. Like, that's it for you. If we have that narrative, we've begun to have that narrative, and that's just wrong. Like, you can produce in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. If you're a strong, weak side shot blocker, if you're a great rebounder, if you can pass. Like, Kevin Love can't stay with switches. Right. He's still in the league. He's still making all-star teams. So let's not pretend that you can't survive if you can't switch. Thankfully, though, Carter can. Mm-hmm. And he can also, I don't know if you saw that sequence, he can grab an offensive rebound and then slide his way all outside the three-point line and then stick it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most impressive play for me, really, from his point of view.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we'll get to the next guy who fits a lot of these same characteristics, but
yeah.
His game just seems to lend itself to the way the modern NBA is played more than a Marvin Bagley or even a DeAndre Ayton,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, you know, we both had Bagley, especially, we both had a little bit lower on our board than where he ended up going. You were saying Wendell Carter, you know, before the draft, you were saying, I don't know why people are saying Bagley is a better prospect than Wendell Carter. And Summer oh, yeah. League suggested, like, you know, that there's at least some credence to that. It might, you know, maybe Bagley, he didn't play all that much at Vegas because he suffered an injury early, but forget which one of the... He was at the California one before the Sacramento one. And like,
correct.
He played okay, but a lot of the same concerns that surfaced during the pre-draft process
mm-hmm.
appeared in Summer League. Carter, meanwhile, I'd say he like vastly surpassed all expectations. As you mentioned, his ability to switch on defense is going to be crucial.
Yep.
Especially, you know, we talked about in the last episode with Jabari Parker... they're just going to have this like supersized front court with him, Markkanen, and Carter. So Carter is going to be very busy on defense. His ability to knock down 3-point shots. I mean, I just don't see how this kid fails, basically.
Yeah, that's why I loved him.
Yeah.
And still love him. There are two layers to this. One was what I mentioned, like he has a high floor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he fails at all. I think at a bare minimum, pending injuries, of course, this guy is a solid 10, 12, 15-year pro.
Right.
I don't see a way that he does not carve out a long-term career in the NBA.
Yeah.
And even if he doesn't end up being a starter, I think he will be. Mm-hmm. But even if he doesn't, he's going to be a very serviceable player overall. Like,
yes.
He's not going to bust in right. any way.
He's not Okafor.
He's not Jahlil Okafor. And then there's the other part. This is what I criticize. People say, oh, well, he's got a low ceiling. He's got a high floor, and as such, he'll have a low ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a... I'm not great in math, but that doesn't seem to add up.
Right.
Like, just because a guy has a high floor doesn't mean he's got a low ceiling. Like,
right.
Those two aren't connected.
Yeah.
And you saw him this time around. Like, his timing on shot blocking, his ability to stay with guards, his ability to rebound the ball in traffic, his ability to pass the ball. And also, he is extremely strong. Like,
mm-hmm.
physically, he's strong. I don't know if you saw some of the post moves he did as well. Like,
yeah.
He's really skilled.
Yeah.
The up and under, the fake one-way, the left-hand hook from about 8 feet out that was all buckets. Like, he has a very well-established game that you can add layers to.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, he's not a high prolific 3-point shooter. He's not going to go out and take 5 a game. Well, you know who didn't do that as well as a rookie? DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm.
And now he does, because now he feels comfortable taking that volume.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to suggest that Wendell Carter could not become that type of player in terms of the 3-point shot.
Yeah.
He was pretty great at drawing fouls at Duke. That is usually a thing that will translate in the NBA as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bulls have a legitimate building block in him. And alongside Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised if that center power forward duo is going to be one of the league's better, you know, front court duos
mm-hmm.
in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Like, they have their front court of the future. I think it's
oh, yeah.
pretty evident. And, you know, going back to your point about him at Duke, like, he played zone at Duke. There was just no way to tell how effective.
They had to.
Right. Because of Bagley. But like now,
and Gary Trent.
Yeah, now that he's like in an NBA defense, I think he's going to shine even more than he did at Duke. And he said mm-hmm. that in the pre-draft process. He said, because of the way they played, like he didn't get to, and who he had as teammates, he didn't get to show everything he can do. Now that he's in the NBA, he will. So Bulls fans should be excited. I know, you know, the Zach LaVine contract we talked about a couple episodes ago. The Jabari thing is, it's a flyer. It's a no-risk flyer. But in Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., you have your front court of the future. It's really, I mean, it's all you can ask for if you're a rebuilding team like the Bulls.
Those are the two only guys that I would look at as long-term mainstays for the Bulls. Yeah. I would not care. I could not care less if they traded Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis. Like, I love Bobby Portis, but like, he's not crucial.
Right.
And Denzel Valentine, all those guys. Like, no, you stick with Markkanen, you stick with Wendell Carter, and everything else is fair game. Yeah. That's how I look at it at this point.
Totally agree. And let's just stay with the versatile bigs, Mort. Jaren Jackson Jr., who both of us, we both had him as the number one big in this year's draft class. He did nothing, nothing to make us look stupid, at least in summer league. He had a game with 8 3-pointers. He had a game with 7 blocks. Much like Wendell Carter Jr., he might not be a 2010 guy right away, but just he fits the way what you're expecting from fives these days. More so than, you know, Ayton projects as a prototypical 2010 guy, but there are the defensive concerns. Same with Marvin Bagley. Jaren Jackson is not going to bust in the NBA. And he's just so damn young, too.
He's a year younger than Ayton and Bagley, I believe.
Yeah, he doesn't turn 19 until later this year, right? He's still 18 years old.
He's still 18 years old. So he's probably one of those guys who's going to have ridiculously, you know, weird stat lines. Yeah. Like, he's going to have NBA games where he has like two rebounds, but 5 3-pointers and 5 blocks.
Right.
From the center position, where you just look at it like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not a knock on his rebounding. I think his rebounding will be fine, but like, he'll have games because instead of grabbing rebounds, he'll be blocking shots. Yeah. Like,
he'll have games where he scores 5 points but has 15 rebounds and 5 blocks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's just he's going to have some really, really fun stat lines. And what I really love about him is he really enjoys the game. Have you watched this guy play? I mean, he smiles all the time. Like, he is loving every second he's out there. Mm-hmm. I for some reason, I love those type of players. The guys who come in where you just, they can't hide their joy of playing basketball. Yeah. When you have a guy like that, I think that's special. Those are the things that doesn't show up in a stat sheet. Those are the things you can't really, you know, look at prior hand. Like, you can scout it, but you can't go off a piece of paper and go, oh, well, he enjoys the game. I think he's going to improve so much just because he has this fun time and this ability to just love the game so intensely.
Yeah, and that's especially for a big man, because that's often the concern with bigs is like, do they actually enjoy playing basketball, or did they get forced into it because they're 7 feet? And it was like, okay, you're this tall, go make money. Like,
you know, Eddie Curry.
Yeah, right. But even more recently, like, that was the big knock on Andre Drummond a couple years ago when he was coming out as well. It was, do you actually love playing basketball? Jaren Jackson, as you said, you can tell he, not only does he love playing basketball, but it seems like he almost likes defense more than offense. Which is going to be really dangerous in that type of frame. Like a 6'11 guy with super long arms, very springy.
7'5 wingspan, and he undoubtedly will develop his body into having like a 40-inch vertical.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Grizzlies got one of the steals of the draft. Like, Cole Zwicker tweeted clips of it was like, I think, just a compilation of all of Jackson's blocks. And like, literally, it's just like, how the hell did this guy slip out of the top three? And I tweeted that, and then people were like, well, because the Suns of the Kings had the top two picks, which is, that's fair. But
like, Jaren Jackson is going to be everything Tyrus Thomas didn't turn out to be.
Ooh, that's a good comp. I was just going to say, like, Bagley over Jackson is going to be the next Okafor over Porzingis. Like, just the how the hell did you...
And then throwing the Doncic angle as well.
Right. Yeah. But Grizzlies fans, I know last year sucked. You got a steal in Jackson. You guys are going to be, like, low-key good this year.
Yeah.
No one's talking about the Grizzlies as a playoff team, but they, you know, assuming Conley and Gasol come back healthy and Gasol is motivated and not mopey like he was last year, they just traded for Garrett Temple on Tuesday, stole him from Sacramento because of course they did. Sacramento didn't give them enough good fortune this summer. Like they're going to be in good shape. I really like what is happening with this Grizzlies team. Yeah. Let's talk about the Knicks more, because both of their picks showed out. Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. So I want to preface this by just saying this. Kevin Knox played well. He did shoot 35%, so he's like, but that's fine. Like, that doesn't matter.
Right.
But I will say this, like, Knicks fans are, when I look at Knicks fans on Twitter right now, they seem to be expecting more than they should of these guys.
Yeah.
So I just want to, like, just preach patience a little bit.
Yes.
Because, like Jaren Jackson, Kevin Knox is also just 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He's very, very young. He's very, very raw. What he did at Summer League was very impressive for someone his age. I love what I saw. I think he showed that he was a little bit more athletic than he showed at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Though I will point out that Knicks fans are saying that he's a top-tier athlete, and that's right. That's not quite the case. But then again, he's 18, so his frame can fill out, his legs can fill out, like his muscle structure will tighten. Like, he will get more athletic with a proper program. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all in all, just don't go out there and expect him to become like a Rookie of the Year candidate. It's unfair to him. It really is. Like, he's so young, it's going to take time for him to acclimate, especially, you know, playing at the three and the four, like being a combo forward is defensively as well. Mm-hmm. Just hang tight. You've got a good one. Don't mess him up by just throwing, you know, expectations on his shoulders that he can't bear.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, especially with Porzingis likely to miss some, if not all, of the season, this will be a good, like, proving grounds for him, because this season is totally meaningless for the Knicks. Like, without Porzingis, they are not competing for a playoff spot. So, like, much like the Bulls with Jabari, like, this should be a season of experimentation for the Knicks. They should see what position is Kevin Knox best suited to play. Can he play the three full time? Because if, you know, if Mitchell Robinson turns into their starting center at some point, and KP is going to slide down to the four, and Kevin Knox is going to play the three, can you play all three of those guys together in a supersized lineup, much like the Bulls are going to have to find out with Jabari and Wendell and Laurie?
Yeah. It's going to be tough, though, because you're not going to have all that much movement.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, again, that's also putting very high expectations on Mitchell Robinson, who, you know, he played really well. I think he led all of Vegas in terms of blocks, at least heading into Tuesday night's championship game.
He did. He actually overtook Wendell Carter as, you know, the guy who averaged, like, second most rebounds and second most blocks. And I think he averaged most blocks. Yeah, like you just said.
Yeah.
Like, he overcame Jaren Jackson.
Yep. And then, you know, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks of dink. I mean, getting that out of what? He was the 36th pick, right? Somewhere around there?
Yeah, I'm still just so confused as to why the Lakers didn't pick him 25th.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, I guess Boston Robert Williams is projected to be a lottery pick, but it seems like that dude, if his head was not physically connected to his body, he would have already lost it, as he has lost his wallet twice and, like, overslept their press conference and missed a plane. Not an especially great start to Robert Williams' NBA career, but...
Right, I have a farm to sell him somewhere. you can. I mean, you really need to get, like, if you're him, you need to get that head on straight, because he is going to be taken advantage of if he's not smarter.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Robinson and Knicks, or and Knox, both, they look great. Knicks fans should be excited.
Yeah.
That said, as you said, keep your expectations in check. This is going to be a long year. You're not going anywhere without KP. Be excited that you've got some really promising young players. Those two, plus KP, plus Frankie Smokes. We'll see what happens with Trey Burke and Moutier and all those guys. But, like, there are pieces there if the Knicks stay patient. Like, they can create max contract space next summer. I think they would have to, like, either stretch Noah or they could salary dump Courtney Lee. They probably are going to struggle to salary dump Hardaway Jr. But, you know, there are pathways for them to create max contract space. There's talk of Kevin Durant perhaps being interested in them. Like, they're on the right path, which is a weird thing to say about the Knicks because it's been so long that we could. But, like, I think they're under smart management and they're being patient as well they should be.
But here's the thing, though. When Kevin Durant has his free agent meeting in New York and gets offered a CD.
Right. That might change.
He'll turn around and
But I mean, the point stands that like they're on the right path and those two guys are going to help. They should be excited about what they've seen so far. Like, just stay patient. That's like, take after your new front office who has rightfully stayed patient this summer, didn't overpay anyone on more than a 1-year deal. Like, they know where they're attacking is a year or two down the line.
Exactly. And then they have DeAndre Jordan 2.0 and Mitchell Robinson. That's his game. Mm. That is really his game. Whenever I see him play, I see DJ.
I like that. Yeah, I like that comp. DeAnthony Melton, who
told you he would be good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone argued. Like, I think everyone during draft night was like, wait, why is this guy slipping to the second round?
We have a Twitter DM thread. People argued when I said that he was going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he's going to be a first-year contributor to a Houston Rockets team that has its eyes on championship contention right now. But, we said it a couple episodes ago. There's a lot of panic over Houston's offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lost Ariza. They lost Mbabu Mute. Who knows what's going to happen with Capella, but he's going to be back in some capacity. But, they have James Ennis, and now this Melton kid, he can play. He's going to be a piece for them. I don't know if he's going to be an instant impact guy. It might take him a little bit. But, they need to factor him in as a potential end-of-the-bench guy.
I told you a couple months back that it wouldn't surprise me one bit if by next playoffs we're sitting here talking about, so how should DeAnthony Melton guard Stephen Curry?
You did say that, yeah.
I have not left my position on that. I think he's ready.
I mean, he played extremely well. Again, you can't read into shooting percentages at Summer League, especially. He shot 38%, but I don't care. The shot looks better than expected. He took the year off.
Better.
Yeah, he took the year off, revised that shooting form. It looks good. And he's going to be a defensive pest. Analytics models loved this kid coming into the draft. Mm-hmm. Of course, Houston, being the analytically inclined franchise, is the one that took him. That partnership is going to go well.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing about giving Houston credit for that. He had already slipped, in my opinion. I had him in the first round in my mock draft.
Right.
So even if Houston just picked him up off coincidence, which obviously they didn't, whoever picked him at that slot would still get a steal. So I get what you're saying. And obviously, I think Daryl Morey was jumping up and down when he saw he was still on the table.
It's almost like if you had two picks in the late 30s, you could have grabbed him, but instead you sold both picks.
Who would do such a thing?
Let's talk briefly about Trae Young, and then we're going to get into some second year guys as well. But Trae did not shoot all that well in his first couple games of Summer League, but bounced back pretty well. And frankly, more so than his shooting, his passing stood out to me.
Yep.
He's an NBA player. I'm not, that was some of the concern. Is he too small? Is he just going to bust outright? I'm not worried about that.
But that was always dumb, though.
Yeah.
That was always dumb. The guy, as a freshman, led the NCAA in scoring and assists.
Right.
You don't do that. Here's the thing. I couldn't care less about him not being able to make shots, because you know what he could? He could get shots.
Right.
They didn't drop.
Right.
But he could get shots within the flow of the offense, outside of the flow of the offense, because he's that type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
But The fact that he, against NBA-ish caliber defenses, just or ish. But regardless, like when he came off a pick, he was already in his shooting motion. Like right. That shot is so quick, and it's so effective that in the NBA, he's not going to have any trouble getting it off. And that's a huge part of it. Then, yeah, he might struggle in year one or two, like with low shooting percentages, but that's just him getting acclimated. Right. As soon as he gets acclimated and he starts dropping shots, his confidence will go up and he'll be like, oh, okay, I can make shots now.
Right, right.
Game over.
And the Hawks are going to be very bad this year just because they don't have much in terms of proven NBA talent, which in a way, like his shooting percentages, as you said, are probably going to be awful this year because he just doesn't have the teammates to like draw attention away from him. Like,
right.
It's John Collins, who we'll hit on in a moment, and then like Taurean Prince, and then like Jeremy Lin and a bunch of rookies. Like Bazemore, I guess, but
Bazemore. Yeah, Baze is good, but
he's not drawing a double team.
No, I have a feeling that he's gonna get traded because he takes up a lot of possessions once in a while. And I think you wanna kind of funnel that towards Trey.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure if they could trade him, they would. I think he's on one of those 2016 contracts that are viewed as negative assets at this point.
I don't know if that's fair, though. Like, he produces a lot more than some of the other guys. Like, he shouldn't be put into that same conversation as a lot of the other 2016 contracts, I feel.
Right, right. He's not like a Deng or a Mozgov or anything, but like...
Deng played 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's healthy.
Right. Yeah. He's basically aligned with Tim Hardaway Jr., both in terms of like...
Oh, the good one.
Yeah. What I could expect production-wise, and then also salary. I think THJ is making $1 million more than Baze. But yeah, it's I still think he's probably viewed as somewhat of a negative asset, or just teams don't want to tie up 2 years of cap space at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he is a productive NBA player. It's just like, he's an overpaid one too. But... Mm. Atlanta's big concern will be trading Dennis Schroeder.
Ugh, that will happen within a month. By the way, Trae Young plays defense now.
Yeah, that was a nice revelation.
I mean, look, when you had the usage rate that he had in college.
Right.
We've talked about this at length. We don't even need to go into all that. But obviously, like, when you have more energy and you have better teammates, surprise, surprise, you can actually exert that energy elsewhere.
Right. Who knew?
Who knew?
Let's just stay right with the Hawks then. We're going to talk about some second-year guys now. John Collins, I think, was the early talk of Summer League. He just, there's always a guy every year. It was Jaylen Brown last year who plays like one or two games and is just so much better than everyone else. It's like, what are you doing here? Like, just go home. Go home for the summer. You're good. This year, that was John Collins. Like, he is a piece for that Hawks team.
I loved him last year, if you don't remember.
Yeah.
I was crazy about him because he was a year younger than everyone else. He had 2 years of college experience, so he was at the same age as a freshman and having played 2 years at Wake Forest. And his numbers were just insane, like efficiency-wise, scoring-wise, rebounding-wise. And the big knock of him was defense and jump shooting, or three-point shooting, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got the three ball now, Brian.
Yeah, I know. That was probably the biggest takeaway for him, as he looks a lot more confident in that shot.
Oh, yeah. And the release was always good. Now it's just kind of perfected a little bit.
Right. And if he's, like, if that's a thing, you could much more feasibly see him as a four long-term, and then they could pair him with... they don't have a great in-house option right now, but...
Dwayne Dedmon right now.
Yeah. Which is fine for a stopgap. Like, Dedmon's a good player, but you're not projecting him as a long-term piece of your future. But, the Hawks could have... They have multiple first-round picks coming their way, possibly, depending on what happens with Cleveland. So, like, they...
And cap space.
Yeah, right. Like, they could be in the market for a center... next year, either via the draft or free agency. But between Young, Collins, Taurean Prince, like, again, the Hawks are going to be bad this year just because they don't have a lot of like proven NBA talent, but you can see something forming there. Like, I'm intrigued by that Hawks team. I think I'm going to watch more of them than I would have expected to a month ago.
I would too. I wasn't in love with their draft overall.
Right.
Especially when you had Doncic in hand. Yeah. And then, you know, Josh Herter, I think you could have gotten better options there. And I really wanted them to take Ile Okobo, but that didn't happen.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. They're definitely young. They have a lot of shooting ability. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. The other main guy, Josh Hart, has been the talk of Summer League, if only because Lakers fans are now ready to anoint him the next Michael Jordan. Should we just replay our pump the brakes talk that we had for the Knicks fans?
Let's. But I will say this, though. I loved Josh Hart last season.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's really good. And to the point where I actually wondered why the Lakers would go out and re-sign KCP.
Mm. Well,
I felt that money could have spent better elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I think the Stevenson signing raised more concerns for Lakers fans, at least that I saw on Twitter. Yeah. 'Cause now,
well, that was dumb regardless.
Well, yeah, now there's just like, wait, is he going to play over? Like, Josh Hart should be a rotation member. Is he going to play over Josh Hart? Is Josh Hart not going to get off the bench? So, like, Josh Hart is, what, 23, 24? Like, he should be dominating first and second year players in Summer League. This is not, you know, like, what he's doing should not come as a surprise. He would not be the first player to have a great Summer League, first second year player to, like, dominate Summer League and then go back to not being as great in the, you know, once the real NBA season starts. But I think he's fine. He's a rotation piece. I don't think he should be off limits in Kawhi Leonard talks. I don't think he's necessarily like a franchise building block, but he's a good, competent rotation player. Yeah. And that's like for where they drafted him. You know, that's great. Like the Lakers have cleaned up at the end of the first round in recent years.
And look, him owning Summer League, as you said, should be predictable. This is sort of like the Simpsons episode with Homer entering the children's contest but building the power plant.
Right. Yeah.
And like winning and like but he won a children's contest. Yeah. And Homer beat their brains out. Like
right.
Yeah. Like that's Josh Hart in Summer League, which is so fitting.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a very good analogy. But who else? Oh, Jonathan Isaac. Let's talk about
him. Oh, we forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a second year guy, so, but man, you know, he just didn't get to play all that much. He was injured for a bunch of his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Mo Bamba together is going to be a defensive nightmare.
Yep,
they are just so damn long. Like, that Magic team's not going to be good this year, and it makes me wonder what's going to happen with Aaron Gordon.
Because come on, we know Nene.
Well, I hope, but like. Are they going to... They almost have to shift him back to the three again, right?
No, they're going to play Isaac at the three. Because it's the Magic.
Oh, God. Oh, I mean, we've said it before. Positional designations don't really matter. But both of those guys are, like, best suited to play the four. And it's going to be an issue down the line.
It depends on the athleticism. Like, really, let's be honest about it. It all depends on how quick you are on your feet. Mm-hmm. If Jonathan Isaac can't guard threes, then it's no problem. Like, offensively, that's when we're talking about, like, positionless basketball.
Right. Right.
Defensively, you still have to look at position somewhat. Like, again, with the Bulls and Jabari Parker playing the three, that's defensively. That's going to prove a concern. And with the Magic, it's sort of the same thing. Now you just got to figure out, okay, who's better at guarding the opposition's best wing?
Right.
Like, is it Jonathan Isaac or is it Aaron Gordon?
Yeah.
And then figure that out. Offensively, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's all about the defense.
Yeah. But I don't know the answer to that question. Like, I don't know if Isaac or Gordon can guard threes full time.
We saw him for 27 games, I think.
Yeah.
Was it even 27 games?
It was somewhere around there.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
Right.
And he didn't, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very small sample size, so I'm not panicked about it, but the whole thing just made me realize, like, John, you know, I think probably because he plays for the Magic, and B, because he just didn't play that much last year, a lot of people are probably just, like, forgetting about him, writing him off, figuring he's the next Hezonja, he's just going to be wasted in Orlando. don't forget about him. He looks like he's going to be a good piece for that Orlando team. And
so remember to pick up his fourth year option.
Right. That's step third year option would be step one. And then,
oh yeah, that's true.
I think he's safe. I think he doesn't have to worry about that. But yeah, I mean, again, that Magic team is going to suck. They just, I don't know what they're going to do at point guard. And it honestly worries me. And I have somewhat of the same concern with Phoenix, because I've seen this happen. This happened in Philly a couple years ago, is they just trotted out all these like shitty journeyman point guards, and you waste, like, what you need good point guards to get the ball to your low post players, both Phoenix with Ayton and now Orlando with like the 7,000 bigs they have on the roster, Bamba, Vucevic, Gordon, Isaac. Mozgov's not playing, but he's there too.
Just about to say.
Yeah. But like, you need a point guard to get the ball to those players, or you're just going to have them stand in the middle and do nothing. And I do worry that, like, what? It's like DJ Augustine and Jerry and Grant for the Magic?
Yep. Yep. At least they won't require shots.
I guess so. I mean, like, defensively, I think that Magic team could turn into something somewhat intriguing pretty quickly. Offensively, I just have no idea how they're going to manufacture enough points.
Yep. Like Evan Fournier, I guess?
I guess so, but, like, is he going to turn into a 30-point-per-game scorer? That's what they need.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, him and Aaron Gordon are going to average an insane amount of points, I think.
Right. They'll both top 20, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hope for both the sake of Orlando and Phoenix they come up with better solutions at the point than what they have right now, or pursue them down the line. Because I do worry that, you know, by the end of the season, we're going to be halfway through Jonathan Isaac's rookie contract. You need to start figuring out what you have in him. And the same goes from Bamba. I mean, it's only his first year, but like, don't waste a year just because you're cheap and you don't have good point guards.
Right. Right, which is also why they should trade Vucevic as soon as they can.
Right, and it wouldn't totally shock me if, like, I don't think Dennis Schroeder necessarily should be the guy they go after, but, like, it wouldn't shock me if they did end up trading Vuce for a point guard, whether it's Schroeder or, like, Reggie Jackson, I guess, could be. I don't know why Detroit would want Vuce. They would not. It would be a three-team deal. I guess Indiana, maybe. You could, like, maybe coax Corey Joseph or Darren Collison.
Yeah, because Indiana have become sort of loaded up front now.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, I guess they have Kyle Quinn, Miles Turner still. It's the problem. Like, there's a glut of both point guards and centers, so it's going to be hard to trade Vuce. Even though he's a good player, he's on an expiring deal. It's a cheap contract. I think it's going to be hard to generate much value out of him.
Right, but you're overthinking it. You had it right the first time.
Schroeder?
Yeah.
I mean, Vuce would be like good, you said, in Atlanta.
Yeah, and as you said, they don't really have a center.
Yeah, right. Ugh.
Let's not overthink this. Like, to the Hawks and Magic listening, don't overthink it. Just pull the trigger, get it over.
Oh, that's so gross. That's fine. That's so gross.
It is. But so, like, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Schroeder.
You can flip Dennis later.
He already had a year where he took 20 shots a game on a bad team. He's used to it at this point. Right. all right, another second year guy we need to talk about, Mr. Cash Considerations himself, Jordan Bell. Again, a guy who, in the John Collins mold, he played like one game and then he was just too damn good and they shut him down. But man, he just looks like so much more confident now.
Did you see the way he dribbled into a 3-point shot?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In Sacramento?
Yeah.
I'm not nervous about DeMarcus Cousins. I'm nervous about this guy. Like, people were getting all riled up about DeMarcus.
Right.
But, like, he's got the Achilles tear and, like, the long journey back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why people got so up in arms about that. The guy you should be worried about if you're one of those, oh, you know, Golden State ruined basketball. Right. Yeah, you should look at Jordan Bell.
Right.
And then you should send Chicago a thank you note for ruining the NBA because, yeah, they got him for free.
Yeah. Him and Kevon Looney both are going to play a much bigger role for Golden State, at least in the regular season, then Boogie, who they are going to take it very slow with.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see about the playoffs, but I mean, Jordan Bell could very feasibly be their starting center come,
yeah,
like the game one of the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
even with Boogie healthy.
Like, he is. I would be so surprised if he's not their full-time center.
Yeah,
he's, I would be
really good.
And he's a Draymond clone. Have you noticed that? Like, nobody talked about his playmaking to this extent when he came out. This dude is dropping dimes, and he's blocking shots.
Yeah,
and he's rebounding and he's scoring.
Yep.
Like, this is Draymond all over again.
The only consolation, if you are one of those Warriors ruining the league people, I wrote about this for B-Ball Breakdown yesterday, is Jordan Bell's a restricted free agent after this year, which I just, like, forgot about. I didn't realize he was coming up so quickly. But the Warriors are about to go into the repeater tax this year. So if anyone throws, like, say a $5 million annual salary, that type of an offer sheet, Jordan Bell's way, it's going to cost the Warriors, like, $25 million to retain him. Once you factor in the tax payments. So much like, you know, Boogie's going to be gone after a year just because they only have the non-bird rights. Feel like Jordan Bell is going to be very stealable next year.
Yeah. So this is why you always sign 3 years.
I don't think they have the cap space though. Or I guess they could.
Oh, it's the minimum? Is it a 2-year minimum?
Yeah, I guess they could have not given Nick Young the full 5-year or the full taxpayer mid-level last year, and they should have
saved. That would have been an idea.
Yeah, they should have saved some cap space. But yeah, if you're signing a minimum, I think it can be a max.
Yeah,
if you use the minimum, yeah, it's a max of a 2-year. And the same thing.
I thought it was a little bit more than that, though.
Yeah, and then Quinn Cook as well. Like, he's another guy who's going to be a restricted free agent after this year. You know, didn't do all that much in the playoffs, missed a big shot against Houston even, but did keep them afloat when Curry got hurt during the regular season. Yeah, the Warriors have some real financial issues coming their way.
I'm matching him. I'm saying it now. I'm matching him, and then I'm looking at, you know, Draymond, seeing how he holds up, because he's one of. No, let's be honest here. Draymond is an energy guy.
Yeah,
we've seen how energy guys can fall off,
right?
Big time,
right?
And he's nearing 30, right?
Yeah.
He's like 28,
29. Oh, man. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just think he's, like, so the heart of that team. It would be tough.
Obviously. No, but, like, you hang on to Jordan Bell, and you pay that tax, and then when a day comes, possibly in the near future, where you look at Draymond and going, oh, you want what kind of money in your 31-year-old body?
Right.
Yeah, we'll go with Jordan Bell. Thank you very much.
Well, because Dre is a free agent in 2020 as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, the Warriors are probably going to win the title this year. I'm not raining on their parade. It's, you know, Boston, I think, is the only team that can challenge them. Mm-hmm. But after this year, they've got some major money problems. Like, it's going to be damn near impossible if they keep all four of those, if they keep their big four together. It's going to be very, 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 very difficult for them to build a halfway competent bench. Like, they're going to be limited to nothing but the taxpayer mid-level, which again is going to cost them 4 to 5 times as much just because of the repeater tax stuff, and then minimum deals, which again, it's going to be
4 to 5 times.
Yeah, $1.5 million for what they're paying, and then also like $7 million in terms of tax payments. So
they're printing money though.
I know. And there's talk that Klay Thompson's going to take a below market extension. I think Marcus Thompson of The Athletic was the one who first reported that back in May, and then Klay's dad was like, well, we're going to wait to see what happens in 2019. Like, I think he's going to end up staying there. He'll probably take a little bit less than the max, but the reported terms were a lot less than the max. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Kevin Durant, you know how they solve their money problems is if Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks or anywhere else.
That's true. That's true. We should dedicate an episode to Klay Thompson just titled, Is Klay Thompson Really a Max Player, Though?
Oh man, I would max the shit out of him.
Yeah.
If I depends on the team construct.
But right. Like, that's kind of my point. Like,
yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
But like for the Sixers in particular, I would readily throw a max his way.
Right. But if you're like Orlando,
No. Oh, like, God, no. Like, no. He should not be the number one option on a championship caliber team. Definitely not.
And that's, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Yeah.
But, like, if I'm the Lakers, I throw a max at him.
Right, because of LeBron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll have suitors who are willing to throw a max at him. I'm sure, like, I'm sure he is locked in as number one on Philly's board. Like, yeah. If for whatever reason he doesn't sign an extension and Golden State says you're too expensive to keep, like, Philly will be knocking on the door with a 4-year max July 1st, midnight next year. No question.
I just had an epiphany, actually. Klay Thompson is this new era's Amari Stoudemire.
Oh, that's an interesting comparison.
Because obviously you max a Stoudemire who plays alongside Steve Nash, right? Because the pairing in itself is just so dangerous. Like, yeah. he's a major part of that connection.
Yeah.
He's the scorer, but on his own hand, like, no, you don't max out a prime Amari Stoudemire, because if he doesn't have that elite guy next to him setting him up, like,
yeah. Let's also hope Clay's knees don't implode like Amari's did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, obviously.
But, yeah. Oh, man, that's a really interesting. We should revisit that later in the summer. We should figure out which teams should and should not. We'll do a whole episode, frankly, on 2019 free
agency. Yeah, let's do it.
A super early preview of it, because we've been alluding to how much of a shit show it's going to be. We need to go into the details. I'm going to write about it at some point. I was planning to do it before I left on vacation, but unfortunately, Nemanja Bjelica screwed up my plans for the day and made me write about him instead. All right, boy. Are there any guys who you are concerned about from Summer League?
I mean, I know you have two guys on your list.
And really, it's sort only of, one, but like...
Yeah, I'm not concerned about anything, but I will say that I understand the concerns about Dragon Bender.
Yeah.
I do. It's getting to that point now where you need to dominate Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, it's not really looking well. Not that we can project that as anything, but... Right. And it's just so weird to me, because last season, like, he was actually switching on smaller guards. He was, like, hitting... I think he hit 118 threes. Like, there were elements to his game where I was like, oh, okay, this kid is growing, and he's becoming something. And then I kind of expected him to just come out, you know, bawling in summer. Actually, initially, I didn't even expect him to play.
Right.
When I heard he would, I was like, what? Is yeah. he? Wow, that's interesting. And then I figured, oh, he's going to play for, like, one or two games, and that's probably about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out looking...
5 games.
Yeah, let's just say his rookie teammate owned his ass pretty much in that rotation. Yeah, it's not really looking good. It's not.
Like, yeah, that was just my first question. Who's the last top 5 pick to play in Summer League heading into their third year? Because I can't think of one.
I honestly, I don't keep track of it, so right, I wouldn't know. But
yeah. And maybe it happened more recently than we realized, but, like... It's not a good sign. Like, again, we're looking for the Jaylen Browns and the John Collinses and the Josh Harts, who in their second league destroy everyone, or second year in the league destroy everyone in Summer League. And Bender's game maybe doesn't lend himself to that type of, like, single-handed domination, but I don't know. It's like I've always been including, I haven't left either him or Marcus or Marquise Chris. I haven't left the island for either player yet, but I'm edging closer to doing so. Like, I've been including them mentally when I think about Phoenix's young core and think about, you know, you have Booker and Ayton and now Mikal Bridges, Josh Jackson, TJ Warren. And I was like, oh, they also have Chris and Bender, who are interesting-ish, and, like, maybe both of those guys will play well off of Ayton because he's going to attract so much attention down low, and Bender, you know, he has 3-point range. He shot 36.6% on threes last year.
Right.
So, like, maybe he just doesn't, his style of play doesn't lend itself well to how basketball is played at Summer League. Like, just this disorganized mess. And now maybe he goes into training camp, and maybe he goes into the preseason, the regular season, and he looks a lot better in a organized, structured format than he did in versus like chickens with their heads cut off in Summer League.
Yeah.
But oh, I don't know. It's getting tougher to, you know, he's still just so young too. Like he doesn't turn 21 until November. So like I don't want to give up on him completely, but ooh.
Well, there are some signs that are really discouraging. Look, he's played over 2,600 minutes in the NBA so far, mm-hmm. over 125 games. Mm-hmm. Without looking, how many dunks do you think he has in his NBA career? And remember, he's 7'1".
Oh man. The fact you're asking me that question makes me think it's really low.
Yeah, but like, yeah.
Go for like 75?
14.
Oh boy.
He had 9. He had 9 dunks this past season and 118 threes.
Wow. So is that just bad offense though? Like bad offensive, like they're just not playing him near the basket at all?
I think so. His, you know, his average, the average distance on his jump shot throughout the course of his career is 17.9 feet.
Mm.
So he's more or less only used as a shooter.
Yeah.
Which I think should change. Because when you're 7'1 and somewhat agile, like, go near the basket. It's just logical. But here's the thing. That also cost him on the free throw department because this guy's averaging half a free throw a game for his career,
right.
playing 21 minutes a night. So that's not great. He had 51 free throw attempts last season.
Man.
In over 2,000 minutes.
That is wild. Yeah, I'm looking at where his rate of 3-point attempts
66.5%.
Yeah. Wow.
He is such a weird player.
Wow. What are you doing, Phoenix? That's jeez. Well, hopefully we'll see him pull it together this year, but man, it's nothing about his summer league performance made me confident that that's going to happen. And then, yeah, we already touched on the other guy briefly, but Bagley, I mean, I don't want to take too much away from it just because he played so sparingly, especially in Vegas. He, you know, he did play a little bit more in the Sacramento League, but did anything stand out to you as, you know, a possible red flag, at least to monitor down the line?
For Bagley? Mm-hmm. No, not really. I mean, the issues that he had coming in were showcased like we had kind of expected them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still pretty aware of where he was in the pick and roll, I would say, even though he didn't convert. Like, he understood angles. He understood what he had to do. And on occasion, like, he broke free and had some pretty impressive plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will have games where he looks like a superstar, but then he'll also have games where you go, like, did this guy just arrive from the G League? The thing about him is, yeah, he's like the counter to Wendell Carter, who's very much stable in his production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bagley is the type of guy who, unlike Carter, can go out and have a game of 35 points and 20 rebounds, but the next day he can follow it up with 2 points and 5 rebounds.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at, I feel, especially in NBA context, because even though he has a great motor, the shot selection and the basketball IQ doesn't really seem to add up to it with his athleticism quite yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a few years it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I'm just overall concerned about him because of the Kings, and you know, we've touched on it before, but I have zero faith in their player development staff. I hope at least De'Aaron Fox with him could be interesting, but there's nothing about how the Kings operate their franchise, including this stupid Garrett Temple, Ben McLemore trade that makes me think, like, I continue to operate in utter disbelief about how the Kings run their franchise. But my proposal for a one-time fan amnesty for Kings fans still stands.
It's as it should. Same goes with Knicks fans, really.
Yeah, but at least they deserve an out. Like, they have some hope.
That's true.
And, like, they're not, like, Scott Perry is running that franchise well since taking over. The Kings are still operating like idiots.
And now they just cleared, I think it was $20.5 million.
Oh, geez.
they're going for something. Like, they're doing what the Bulls are doing. Like, they cleared up for something. I'm expecting them almost to go out and offer, like, Marcus Smart 20.5 million.
I was about to say, like, the smart play would be to offer Clint Capella that much money.
Yeah, but it's the Kings.
Right. The Galaxy brain, on the other hand, will be to get Marcus Smart, like, a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Oh, God.
All right. Are there any other guys who we need to touch on from Summer League?
Yeah, so I'm going back to the Bulls a little bit, and that's actually just quite coincidental. Antonio Blakeney.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this guy is still on a two-way contract. I have just not any understanding of why a team out there hasn't just signed him for like a fully guaranteed deal. Like, this dude averaged 32 points last season in the G League, won the G League Rookie of the Year award as well. Like, you don't do that without having some serious offensive game. And, like, yeah, he's a black hole. I get it. Mm-hmm. But even in NBA context, you can actually have him pull out of, you know, or like have several 20-point games right. during the course of a season.
Right.
I look at him very much as a Gerald Green-type player.
Mm.
Like, just a super scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of also annoyed because when you have that player on your roster, you're essentially saying that, he's earning less than $1 million. You're saying that Zach LaVine is worth more than 80 times that
right.
guy.
Right.
Where I'm just going, maybe, you know, you should just have let Zach LaVine sign with the Kings and see what you had in Antonio Blakeney instead, because they basically offer the same thing, which is just jump shooting and more jump shooting.
Yeah.
And both are athletic as hell, and only one of them has a surgically repaired knee.
Right. Right. I agree with you. So a smart team should swoop in and steal him.
Take Antonio Blakeney.
Yeah, if they could. It sounds like Christian Wood is also...
I love that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a process sixer through and through. I'm always going to be faithful to Christian Wood, but it sounds like he's picking up some interest based on his play in Summer League, but I forget who reported that, but they said, whoever it was, said Milwaukee is not one of those teams, which I found interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know who, but I will say this. Christian Wood, I had him on my radar pretty early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's extremely intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some ability for him to stretch. Yep. Like, he can score inside. He can rebound. And he can maintain a scoring average. Like, he's not one of those guys who are just going to be a non-offensive minded player out there. Like, he's legitimately a at the very minimum, he's a multifaceted offensive player who can rebound. Like, that has value.
Yeah.
Even if he has defensive concerns, and even I think he averaged like 2.8 blocks.
Yeah. Yep. Along with, like, 20 points and almost 11 rebounds.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do far worse for an end-of-the-bench flyer as your, like, third center than...
Right.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, like, at length, picking up those guys on the cheap instead of just going with known commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lance Stephenson, come on. Right. That's not the guy you want to pay $4.5 million. Like, you want to save that money. Go for someone who has higher upside.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Especially if you're a rebuilding team, especially.
I can't wait for the day when I win the European lottery and I buy an NBA team and you and I are going to be co-GMs.
I'll be the team president of basketball operations, and then Alex can leak some embarrassing shit about me and get me fired. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah. That'll be because you have all your burner accounts?
Yeah. Burner accounts. Yeah.
That's right.
She does have a burner. Not like a burner account. She doesn't use Twitter, but like she has an egg account. And I'm like, I don't even know the handle, so it scares me. Like, one day I'm going to sign online and, like, see my name in awful announcing and be like, oh, shit. I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
I want to say quickly, Furkan Korkmaz, after his 40-point game, a lot of Sixers fans were saying, we don't need Marco Bellinelli. We got Furkan Korkmaz. And I even joked, like, who needs LeBron? We got Furkan. Mm-hmm. Furkan Korkmaz is going to be an end-of-the-bench player still. He's good. Like, that shooting stroke is looking better. And if you want a guy to replace Bellinelli in the sense of, like, jacking up six threes that look like they have no chance of going in, yeah, Furkan could fill that role. But otherwise, he's going to be like the 14th man. He's going to be inactive most nights. But you know,
right.
I think he at least has a place on the Sixers roster. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, even after this the Bielica stuff, like they're still, if Jonah Bolden does come over, they're still two players. They'll have 17 players under contract now. You got to assume Bayless is one of them getting waived. And I feel like the other one is probably going to be Rashawn Holmes, which I know excites you because that means the Bulls could steal him. But
no, no. Look, they're topped off on the big positions. So yeah. I'm just excited for Rashawn Holmes to get a chance somewhere.
Yeah, I you know, I think if they're bringing over Bolden, who didn't do that well at Summer League, quite frankly, and I don't think they're going to hold that against him. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, shit, he struggled at Summer League. I guess we can't bring him over now. Because if they do, he's going to stay stashed for 3 years and do what Nico did. And like, if you can get him to sign to a rookie deal now, you do it. That said, yeah, it feels like Rashawn is not long for this roster because of that.
Hope he goes to Atlanta then.
Oh, that would be super fun. Him and John Collins?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, again, we just talked for an hour about Summer League. If your top favorite team's prospect didn't do all that well, there's still a lot of time to turn it around. We really, that's why we wanted to focus on the positives mostly today, because...
And Dragon Bender.
And, well, he just stood out like a sore thumb. We had to address him. But otherwise, that's why we focus on the positives, because we've said it before, we'll say it again. We want all of these young guys to succeed. The NBA is a better league, and it's in a better place when young talent succeeds and replenishes the, you know, stock of...
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want as many good teams and good players out there as possible. We don't want to see shitty players, and we don't want to see shitty teams. We want to see shitty GMs because it's hilarious. But aside from that, we want to watch good basketball, please and thank you. So,
yeah,
fingers crossed all these guys will, you know, if they had a disappointing league, summer league, they'll put it behind them. If they had a good summer league, they will use that, build upon what they learned, and continue to develop. And NBA basketball, it's only 3 months away. Get excited.
Oh yeah, quarter of a year.
Only. Yeah. But in the meantime, we will have plenty more to discuss this offseason. We'll get some guests on as well. But before we'll start some division previews later in the summer. But Lord knows there will be something to talk about because it's the NBA and it never sleeps. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our bios in our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So check them out on Twitter, at Almighty Casts. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
Well, wait a second, Brian.
Oh.
Shouldn't we tease a little bit?
We should.
About the next episode?
We should. So we will. So I'm leaving for Estonia Wednesday, and while I am gone, we'll be posting an episode most likely Saturday with none other than Rich Cho, the former Charlotte Hornets general manager. He walked us through basically how NBA teams prepare for the offseason for draft, free agency,
right,
all that good stuff.
It was a great interview.
Yeah, Rich was awesome. I think you guys are all going to really enjoy it. He gave us a lot of insights that we just didn't even know were a thing before we talked to him. And also, stay tuned for the end. We discuss his food website, Big Time Bites. And actually, one of the recommendations, we recorded this in June before all this stuff happened, so some of the references are dated. That's why, but... One of the recommendations he gave, I actually went there last week, the one in Nashville, and turns out he has a very good palate, because, damn, he was spot on with that recommendation. So, yeah, check that out later in the week. It should be out on Saturday, so follow us on Twitter. You'll see it come out there, or iTunes, Megaphone, whichever app you use to get our latest episodes. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm definitely looking forward to to people listening into that. We had a blast recording that, and just wanted to say Rich was just so gracious with his time. Yes. Like I didn't think for a second we would get him for more than 20 minutes, and he was just sitting there for an hour just answering our dumb questions, and I was like, wow, really?
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. I was really blown away, so that's great. And Brian, like, next time we see each other, it's not going to be on webcam.
Yeah. It'll be
that's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll document some Danish adventures next week. We'll send out some pictures, mostly of us just playing with puppies, probably.
I mean, you could spend worse days in Denmark playing with puppies.
I agree. So
you could be in Helsinki.
So until then, Mort, I will catch you later.
Definitely, Brian. Take care.